WATH Athens.
Good morning, folks. It is the 22nd day of November, and I'm sorry, I can't hear you. What?
I was just saying, trying to whisper. Sorry about that. The 22nd day of the month.
Yeah, the microphone stand was blocking my calendar. Anyway, we've got it right now. 22nd day of November. It's a Wednesday, and guess what tomorrow is?
Gobble, gobble.
That's right. Thanksgiving. We're going to probably talk mostly about that very topic today. And tomorrow, we won't be talking with you at all, except in person. But we want you each to have a wonderful, blessed day. Before I get into the Thanksgiving thing, or before we get into the Thanksgiving thing, I just wanted to bring up something that happened a few days ago. And, you know, I had a lot of time working in Washington. And I was proud of my role with the National Association of Broadcasters and some other organizations that I represented. There was a time when I represented all Ohio broadcasters in Washington with the NAB. That's the National Association of Broadcasters. Anyway, Rosalind Carter. I had the opportunity to know her on a couple of occasions. Well, she passed, as you well know, last Sunday. She was 96 years of age. She was a real proponent for mental health issues. Of all of the first ladies prior to her, I think she is the one that probably first, how do you want to call it, professionalized the role of the first lady. Real quality person. And we hadn't really brought it up, that I can recall anyway, during our show this week, and maybe we did and I've forgotten, but it's worth repeating. She was a classy gal.
Well educated, and very much involved in her husband's presidency as an advisor.
Yes.
She attended his cabinet meetings, which was unheard of at that time, unheard of to see a First Lady of the United States attend such an important meeting, but she was the first one to do it. And evidently, President Carter, who had a lot of very learned advisors,
mm-hmm.
Trusted her voice and her intellect over and above all of the individuals who advised him. And I read somewhere this week where a lot of people who wanted to talk to the president about this bill or that bill would sometimes come to the first lady before going to the president to discuss the bill and its attributes and to kind of get a read on where she stood. Because one thing is certain, if Rosalind Carter was for it, then I'm sure she would have had a great effect in convincing the president that it was a good idea. Not that the president wasn't very much his own person. He definitely was that. But this was a man who did not was not embarrassed to seek his wife out for advice. And from what I understand, her advice was quality advice, mm-hmm. and trusted by the president of the United States. Kind of a cool story.
And I mean, some may disagree with this, but the president prior to the last president to have that kind of help and guidance from his wife was Kennedy. So, anyway, I just came across that and I wanted to mention it. I came across another story a few days ago that, I don't know, let's just talk about it. The title is, "We Are Raising a Generation Unable to Think." Children and teenagers today don't have it easy, nor do their parents. But, as emotional intelligence expert Dietrich McGee will tell you, one of the biggest problems with kids these days is that they are subjected to never-ending information with no filter with which to judge it. I get that. She goes on, kids need extra help, she'll say, so they can begin to think for themselves, and parents and teachers and others who care about them can provide those resources. Dietrich can share how to raise contrarian, it's always hard for me to say, contrarian, how to raise a contrarian thinker. And why you'll want to.
Absolutely.
How to teach kids the importance of the 80-20 rule and how to raise an emotionally intelligent child. Well, I could go on with this point, but it's just two things that I've been wanting to just mention briefly.
Well, I would agree with that. So many times these days, I think that kids get their news or are even told how to think by somebody they trust. Whereas before, I think educators, at least I know mine did, this was very important to them. They always wanted you to work out the problem for yourself. So I would be sitting in the classroom just like everybody else, writing notes from what was put on the chalkboard or what was being discussed in the class, point by point, as we went over this subject or that subject. But many times when it came time for the examinations, the questions were posed so that an element of your own thinking had to come into the equation. And I told you a story once, one of my teachers. It was a theology class in high school. We were going over this proof for weeks, it seemed like.
Wait a minute.
It was a Jesuit.
Theology in high school?
Yeah. I went to an all-boys Catholic school.
Oh,
so,
I see.
So this Jesuit priest had a proof that he went over for weeks about that in his mind proved the existence of God. All right. And then when it came time for the examination, I more or less regurgitated point by point what the father had discussed in class. And on my exam, when he gave it back to me, I got a C+ on it. And I was like, I don't understand. Everything on there is exactly what was discussed. But then in red ink, I saw in writing, "Is that the best that you've got, Figuel?" Mm-hmm. In other words, I guess he appreciated that I got the facts that he discussed, hence the C+, but the fact that I didn't do my own thinking on the equation ended up getting the grade that I got. And that was a lesson I learned from them about how to do your own thinking. Don't necessarily trust on face value everything you read or are told. Do your own research, do your own thinking, do your own feeling, and come to your own conclusions. And it's a very good way to educate a young person, I feel.
Well, mercy. It's a deep topic, and we can certainly deal with that on other occasions in the future, because it is never ending.
Mm-hmm.
Thanksgiving. Imagine that. You know, the traveling that takes place for Thanksgiving. The statistics of how many people. Okay, they're saying the Federal Aviation Administration said skies will be the most crowded the day before Thanksgiving, that's today, when more than 49,600 flights are forecast to operate.
It's also the most expensive day to fly, as you would, because of the demand, they obviously take advantage of that.
American Airlines expects to transport 7.8 million customers over a 13-day Thanksgiving travel span beginning tomorrow. About a half a million more than what they did last year. Yeah.
They're saying here that in addition to yesterday and today being the busiest days in airports, they're also saying obviously the following Sunday and Monday as people return back home will be very, very, very busy.
Right.
Urging people to expect delays. Out on the roadways, kind of a totally different subject. Again, AAA is forecasting it's going to be a nightmarish travel season, nightmarish from the standpoint that a lot of people are going to be on the roads. And they're saying, especially between 2 and 6 o'clock today, on Thanksgiving between 11 and 3 o'clock, and on Friday between noon and 4 o'clock. So they're urging people who are planning on traveling, and they're saying as many as 100 million people will be traveling 50 miles or more from home this Thanksgiving. Try to avoid those windows. Again, between 2 and 6 o'clock today, 11 and 3 o'clock tomorrow, and noon until 4 o'clock on Friday.
Well, that period tomorrow, I'll be on the road for a bit, but a 50-mile trip, no big deal. And then come back and enjoy another event back here later in the evening. But anyway, down to what is it? New Haven, West Virginia.
That's not too far. That's just across the river. So you'll go through Pomeroy.
That's right.
And
take the bridge. Yes.
It's a nice little community there too.
Mm-hmm. I've become accustomed to this little country club they have there, golf course, and they have nice food. Well, anyway, all right. Well, Thanksgiving. There's many things we're going to talk about here. Let's talk about things we should be aware of to stay healthy. And let's see. So, I've got a story. This is from, let's see here. Well, anyway, it's out of Fredericksburg, Virginia. And the story says, the holiday season is upon us, and while we may love the lights and fun feeling in the air, it can also be a time of year that gets us in more ways than one. The holiday season can make people feel stressed out, and they can overeat, leading to weight gain. The good news is that some crucial things can be done to help you stay healthy this holiday season. So we go on here. It says, it's easy to get caught up in the festivities and season and push your health aside. This is from Jennifer Shearer, who's a registered dietitian, nutritionist, medical exercise specialist, and certified personal trainer. She also owns a studio called Fredericksburg Fitness Studio. All right. Instead of regretting that, focus on doing new things that will focus on self-care during this time would be helpful. So, according to a study published in the Journal of Obesity, The holiday season could be a critical period for gaining weight. The study reports that adults often gain weight during this time of the year. Well, duh. Add to this that the American Psychiatric Association, the APA, says that many adults find this time of year stressful because their focus on family, work, and money intensifies. This is more common in women than men, and women are less likely to take time to relax or manage stress. The stress and weight gain can set people up for a challenging time during the season and after. This makes it essential to minimize the impact now. Doing even one or two things to reduce the effect will help make a difference. So, we've got a list of 7 crucial things to do this holiday season to stay healthy. Number 1, stay active. Try incorporating physical activity into your daily routine, whether going for a walk, doing home workouts, or trying out a new exercise class. Simply speaking, being active helps reduce stress and burn calories. Number 2, eat mindfully. Enjoy your favorite treats in moderation and make healthier choices whenever possible. Fill your plate with nutrient-dense foods like fruits, vegetables, and lean proteins. Eat everything with intention rather than consuming calories absent-mindedly. Okay, next point. Remember, there's 7. This is the 3rd. Prioritize self-care. Take time to relax and recharge. Practice stress management techniques like deep breathing, meditation, or taking a warm bath. Also, make sure you are getting a good night's rest. The next point, travel well. Many people travel during the holidays, throwing off their eating, sleeping, and exercise habits. Plan so that you can minimize the negative impact and stick to your standard patterns as much as possible. The next item, if I've counted right, this is the 5th out of 7. Just breathe. One of the most therapeutic things you can do when feeling overwhelmed or stressed is simply breathe. Focus on the breath, either engaging or meditating or breathing exercises. 6th out of 7 is be kind. Being kind to others during the holiday is good for both of you. The APA reports that small acts like kindness make people feel better, both the person giving and receiving. In their poll, around 90% of the people reported feeling better when they gave and received an act of kindness.
That's all very good advice, and I totally buy into the benefits that come from being a giver.
Yeah.
I mean, it's always nice to receive things too, but...
But you know, the thing I go through is, what is the nicest thing I could give them? You know, and then I have to think about all those different angles. And because I don't want to give them something just a gift.
Right.
I want it to have some meaning and be appreciated. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I do.
The last item says, say no. Okay, let's see what they mean. Now is the time to learn to say no to things. By protecting your mental health, by saying no to some things, you will not have to have the stress of attending everything you are invited to, it's okay to say no.
And I agree with that as well, because I think a lot of the stress that we end up feeling during the holiday season comes because we just pile things upon ourselves, tasks, things to do with neighbors, and they interfere with your own checklists, and the next thing you know, you've got conflicting priorities, conflicting events, and now you're disappointing somebody. You're disappointed because you have to do this instead of that, and that's where a lot of the stress ends up coming, I do believe.
Yeah. Well, creating a balance for this year's holiday is all about finding what works best for you. It's okay to indulge in some holiday treats, but remember to take care of your body and your mind. Enjoy the festivities while staying mindful of your health. Find what things bring you happiness and makes you feel good about yourself. Yeah, good article.
Yeah, you know, as I ended my show this morning, just a few moments ago, I said that Thanksgiving, it's not about the parades, it's not about football, it's not about the fancy meal, it's about the people that you gather with, about being in the room with them, getting a chance to breathe the same air and share the smiles and the good feelings that generally come from being with people that you know, love, and care for. That's the best part of Thanksgiving for me.
Well, humor always helps too. And so I got to thinking, what's humorous about Thanksgiving? So I Googled something and I came across a list of 20 items. Now, I've not read each of these in advance, so we may be disappointed, but we're going to try. Okay, 20 ice-breaking Thanksgiving facts and trivia. Number one, a turkey miscalculation birthed the first TV dinner. I don't think I even understand it. So it's making me laugh, right? I don't get it, so I laugh.
I'm not sure what that means. It's from the Smithsonian, though, so, okay.
Number two, Thanksgiving Eve is the biggest drinking and pizza night of the year. Okay, I guess I can accept that one. I'm not a beer guy particularly, but I get the point. Number three, there's a Butterball Turkey hotline for all your turkey questions and concerns. Yes, of course.
Have you ever called it?
I think years ago I did once. And certainly when I was a young adult with my family, really young, Butterball was the thing.
1-800-BUTTERBALL. There was an episode of The West Wing, which was a great television series. Very thoughtful and provoking show, but they had an episode on Thanksgiving, and the president was looking for answers on this or that concerning turkey preparation, and one of the aides said, why don't you call 1-800-BUTTERBALL? And he looked at them incredulously going, what do you mean 1-800-BUTTERBALL? And sure enough, he calls him up and starts asking questions, and he thought it was the greatest thing he'd ever heard of. But
how about that?
I have called 1-800-BUTTERBALL. I think I told you the other day I prepared two meals, and I did get assistance from 1-800-BUTTERBALL.
If I'm not mistaken, there's a Butterball store down in Parkersburg. And years ago, we used to go there and ask questions and things. Anyway, and for all I know, it doesn't exist anymore. Who knows? All right, well, moving on. Alcatraz holds an annual un-Thanksgiving Day. Now, that's kind of weird. Un-Thanksgiving Day.
Alcatraz, the notorious prison in San Francisco Bay. Okay.
Number five, Abraham Lincoln was the first president to proclaim Thanksgiving a national holiday.
Now, President Lincoln was chided by a magazine editor and famed author named Sarah Hale to establish a holiday for Thanksgiving. Of course, the Civil War was going on, and in fact, Thanksgiving had been celebrated in the United States well before the Civil War. President George Washington declared a day of Thanksgiving during his first term as president.
Well, wasn't 1621 the first Thanksgiving with the pilgrims and all that?
Yes, according to lore, that's what we are taught. What we were taught. But it took quite a while for it to become a national holiday.
Of course.
Presidents from time to time evidently called a day of national Thanksgiving. Lincoln recognized it after being chided by Sarah Hale, whom we'll talk about a little bit more here in just a second, and it ended up becoming what it has become. And every president since then has issued a presidential proclamation declaring a day of national Thanksgiving, right up to the present.
Well, but Abraham Lincoln was the first president to proclaim Thanksgiving a national holiday. Cranberries were the original superfood.
If you had to guess what state produces the most cranberries, what would you guess?
I'm not going to get that one.
It's Wisconsin. I thought it was an East Coast state.
Yeah, Northeast.
But evidently, Wisconsin exports a lot of cranberries to Europe. Over $250 million is accounted for just from cranberry production in the state of Wisconsin, according to the news this morning, who keeps track of these things? I guess if you live in Wisconsin, you do, because it's very important to their economy.
I do like cranberries.
I love them.
Yeah. All right. Number seven. Sometimes presidents will pardon the turkey. Okay. I think I've heard about this.
Every year.
At the White House. Okay, next. Sarah Hale is a Thanksgiving hero. I guess she also wrote Mary Had a Little Lamb, right?
Yep. In addition to chiding President Lincoln into creating a national holiday, her claim to fame was that she wrote Mary Had a Little Lamb.
And the lamb was white as snow. I can't remember any next lines, but that's all right. Okay. Let's see. Other weird facts, or not weird, but just facts. Baby turkeys are called poults.
I knew that.
I had long ago forgotten that. Turkeys have heart attacks, but scientists aren't sure why.
Probably for the same reasons that we have heart attacks, maybe?
Well, stress.
Might be stressful being a turkey. I don't know.
Knowing the date's coming. Okay, let's see here. Benjamin Franklin really loved turkeys.
He wanted the national symbol to be the turkey over the eagle. You knew that, didn't you?
I think so. The first time I heard it, I thought it was a joke, but then I realized, no, this was true.
Yeah. Imagine the national seal adorned with a turkey as opposed to the heralded eagle.
Yeah.
What might have been.
Okay, I did not know this. Excuse me, folks. Turkeys can run, and they can run up to 25 miles per hour.
They're fast.
Forgive me. Number 13, 50% of people put stuffing inside the turkey, although professional chefs advise against it.
It takes longer for the turkey to cook if you do that. I do know that. I think my wife has pretty much gotten out of the habit of stuffing turkeys. At least that's what I've noticed the last couple of years. She might put some in there, but she also prepares a dish outside of the bird.
I'm hearing also that there's additional health concerns.
Yeah.
Like, does the dressing get heated to the degree it needs to be safe to eat? Oh, well. 50% still do stuffing. Item 14, cranberries were originally called cranberries. I don't think I understand what they're getting at here, but it's a big deal. Number 15, only male turkeys can gobble. Female turkeys cackle.
I did not know that.
I'm not sure I would know the difference if I heard it. All right. Number 16, Americans spend $1.05 billion purchasing Thanksgiving turkeys. Now, just to put that in perspective, $1 billion could buy a round trip ticket to the moon, an NFL team, or a private island. Here's another one. Modern turkey breasts are so large that the birds can't breed naturally. Whoa.
Well, they do. Have you ever seen a huge turkey farm? They're just... They've done a lot over the last few years to make them more friendly to the animals, but before they were just like in giant pens, and all they did was just constantly feed them to make them as big as possible. And I'm sure you've probably seen some of the turkey. A couple of years ago, there was a turkey at the Meigs County Fair that was being shown by a young child. Now, this turkey weighed over 50 pounds, which I thought was ginormous. It couldn't even walk. It was so big. It could walk, but not easily.
You say over how much?
50 pounds. It was huge. Never seen a turkey that big before.
Well, let's see here. We can do one more. Most people think you gain 5 to 10 pounds over Thanksgiving, but the average person only gains 1. So, yeah, we worry about it, and we try to be careful about it, and maybe we're worrying too much. But, of course, if you don't want to lose, give up a pound, eat more normally.
We need to take a break, Dave.
I thought so.
Yeah, we'll be right back with more of this free-for-all on Dave Palmer's Party Line on the new Mix 97.3.
Athens High School basketball is back on Mix 97.3 WATH starting December 1st. Join Cedric Granger throughout the season as the Athens Bulldogs fight for a TVC Ohio title. It all starts on Friday, December 1st when Athens travels to Marietta. Check out the full schedule on our Facebook or X pages. It's Athens Bulldogs boys basketball returning December 1st on Mix 97.3 WATH.
Mr. Clean, Mr. Clean.
Of course I use Mr. Clean Magic Eraser to clean tough messes off my stovetop and bathtub. But then I discovered I can also use it to easily clean my patio furniture and even my shoes. I'm hooked.
And when wipes won't cut it, I use Magic Eraser Sheets. They're thin and flexible erasers, perfect for everyday messes, like gunk on my counters and sinks. They really are magical.
The reviews are in. Mr. Clean Magic Eraser and Sheets make cleaning look easy.
Jim Gaffigan here with some more straight talk. Let's take a moment to appreciate our sweet children, loving grandparents, and eternal soulmates. Now let's use them to save money on wireless. Because with the Straight Talk Silver plan, you get 4 lines for just $25 a month with unlimited data and no contracts. So add those human pawns, loved ones, and save money. Thanks, kids. You're finally worth it. Straight Talk Wireless, available at Walmart.
Get 4 lines on Silver Unlimited for $25 per line per month, plus taxes and fees. For data management practices and additional terms, visit straighttalk.com.
Here's a message just for the attorneys out there. so you passed the bar, joined a firm, or even built your own. Now, are you finding out that you're doing more administration than actual law practice? Lexicon can help. Lexicon is a legal technology provider with over a decade of experience streamlining administrative tasks like timekeeping, billing, and more, so you can focus on maximizing billable hours and increasing client satisfaction. Call 855-4-LEXICON or visit lexiconservices.com/go to learn more.
You don't want to miss 60% off everything during the once-a-year Black Friday event, only at your nearest Banana Republic Factory store. Bring home must-have styles and gifting favorites with limited-time deals from just $15.
Don't miss See Better, Drive Safer Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts with great deals on wiper blades, headlight bulbs, and more. Visit O'ReillyAuto.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts. Southeast Ohio weather.
Temperatures today will be topping out right around 45 degrees. The clouds hang with us. A little bit of mist and a breeze out of the west, about 5 to 10 miles per hour. For tonight, we're down to around 34, the overnight low. Partly cloudy skies. Mostly sunny for your Thanksgiving. Temperatures in the mid-50s. Black Friday, partly cloudy and 50 to high. For 13 News, I'm meteorologist Brian Hughes.
It's Party Line with Dave Palmer on Mix 97.3 and 970 WATH.
Now, I just had to laugh a moment ago. There was one of our commercials there. They were talking about passing a bar. And I thought to myself, no, wait a minute. And, of course, they were talking about the legal profession. But I've passed a number of bars, you know? And and I've even gone in a few. But... No, I'm not much of a drinker, but I do enjoy a glass of wine or, you know, something simple. All right. Well, anyway, let's see. Well, what are we talking about? We're talking about Thanksgiving. And properly so, it's tomorrow. The event that Americans commonly call the first Thanksgiving was celebrated by the Pilgrims after their first harvest in the New World, which took place in November of 1621. The feast lasted 3 days and was attended by 90 Native American, I don't know how to pronounce this word, Wampanoag.
That's how I would pronounce it, okay. Wampanoag.
Anyway, these were Native American people. I'm going to say Indians. As well as 53 survivors of the Mayflower, the boat that brought the Pilgrims over. November 1621. Interesting. Well, let's see here. I've got some things that I found, and I don't know if they're worth sharing, but we'll try it anyway. So, what are some of the common foods? Green bean casserole, right? And they say that was invented by a Campbell Soup employee. Cranberry sauce. What do they say about it? It is canned upside down. Now, why?
Canned upside down. Is that so that...
Cranberry sauce sliding out of the can to facilitate the process. The company packages the condiments so that it will be... So the rounded end of the can is up top and the sharper rimmed end is at the bottom, which they say is the opposite of what you see in most canned products. Anyway, it goes on and on and on.
I'm going to have to look at the can of cranberries when I get home. I've never noticed that.
You know, and nor have I. Here's another thing. A lot of Thanksgiving dinners involve mashed potato wrestling.
What in the world?
It's where you try to splash each other with a spoonful of mashed potatoes.
You mean food fights?
Yes.
I can honestly say, and I'm very proud to be able to say with absolute certainty and conviction, I have never had a food fight at a Thanksgiving table. And I can tell you right now, if it ever happened, it would not be a good thing. My wife would have a fit.
I can remember such an event in Sheridan, Wyoming. Now, folks, you all have heard me over the years. Whenever I use the term Wyoming, I go, Wyoming. There's a reason for this. But that is one of them. It actually happened. Okay. Now, here's something
I was just going to say, the things that I don't know about you.
Yeah.
A food fight.
I didn't start it.
But you were involved, though, it sounds
like. I reacted.
So, in other words, you pitched a spoonful of mashed potatoes across the table at the...
dorm, one of my roommates. And it got into a real brawl. Not just between two people, but 16.
You're a bigger rascal than I have given you credit for. That's all I have to say.
Well,
that's all right. The more I learn, the more I like.
I think I've settled down a little bit. Okay, here's another trivia. Sweet potatoes are not really potatoes.
They're tubers, aren't they?
Well, let's see what they say. True potatoes, like russets, are members of the nightshade botanical family, while sweet potatoes belong to the morning glory family. But that doesn't make sweet potato yams either, though they aren't actually potatoes. Orange sweet potatoes are their own thing. Yams, which are often white or yellowish on the inside, are related to lilies and grasses and mostly grow in tropical environments. Oh, well. I like sweet potatoes.
I do, too.
Next. The pumpkin pie you have at Thanksgiving likely does not contain pumpkin.
What does it contain?
Any pies baked with canned pumpkin puree are often criticized as not being pumpkin pies at all. But the truth is more complicated. There's no hard and fast rule as to what is or isn't a pumpkin. But the most iconic pumpkin is a variety of cucurbita, C-U-C-U-R-B-I-T-A. And then, it's two words, cucurbito pepo. Going on, while most store-bought canned pumpkin is made from the Dickinson pumpkin, or cucurbita machada. It's getting too complicated for me. Anyway, going on. However, many authorities argue pumpkin either has no botanical meaning or consider C. machata to be a valid type of pumpkin. Do we really need to finish this? I don't think so.
I'm just shocked that the canned pumpkin isn't canned pumpkin.
Yeah,
that boggles my imagination.
We're making a pumpkin bread today to serve with tomorrow afternoon's meal.
All right. Did your wife or your partner now ever make pumpkin pie from scratch?
Oh, I'm sure. She's a avid cook. I like to go out a lot, so. She hasn't shown off all her skills, but she's anxious to.
Well, what I've noticed about pumpkin pie that was made from scratch was it tended to be less dark in color when it was finished. It tasted like pumpkin.
Okay, that's the only thing I care about. I don't care what color it is.
Well, I don't either. It's just an observation. But the thing is, I'm trying to make is I really couldn't tell that much difference between what came out of the can and what came out of the gourd itself, which has to be boiled and such and things like that and mashed up. But it was lighter in color. They evidently put something in the canned pumpkin to make it darker, food coloring, whatever. I don't know, but I really couldn't tell the difference between the taste. I can't say one was better than the other.
Well, we got a couple more points to bring out before the end of the show. So, number six, turkey probably won't make you sleepy. Now, there's, you know, some people have said, after I eat turkey, I get sleepy. But many people feel tired at the end of a Thanksgiving dinner, which is a natural reaction to gorging on heavy foods and washing it down with alcohol. Despite this logical explanation, people have chosen to blame the amino acid L-tryptophan for their drowsiness instead. It's true that that is present in turkey, but the bird doesn't contain enough of it to put you to sleep. The stuffing, pumpkin pie, and three glasses of Merlot are more likely to blame for your post-dinner nap.
Okay.
Next item. Whether you call it dressing or stuffing depends on where you're from. Some say that there is a difference between stuffing and dressing. The former is stuffed into the turkey and cooked that way, while the latter is cooked separately in a pan to avoid turning it, what's arguably the best dish at Thanksgiving, into salmonella bomb.
Brother.
Yeah. Many people prefer cooking their cubed bread mixture outside their turkey. According to others, though, whether you call it dressing or stuffing comes down to where you live. People in the South are more likely to call it dressing. People in the Northern and Western states tend to stick with stuffing. That was important. Number eight, the largest serving of macaroni and cheese weighed...
How much?
2,469 pounds.
One single serving.
In 2010, the Cabot Creamery Cooperative and Chef John Fulce and Company made every cheese lover's dream come true by whipping up the world's largest serving of mac and cheese. The gooey monstrosity weighed 2,469 pounds. And that's not including the 1,902-pound kettle it was cooked in.
Oui.
It earned the title largest macaroni and cheese ever made from the Guinness World Records. Number nine. How am I doing on time? We're okay. The origins of the turducken go back to the 18th century. Turducken?
No, it's a turducken.
Okay, I don't know the term.
Well, it's a turkey inside of a duck. They basically prepare the bird in layers, and actually I think it starts with a chicken inside the turkey, and which ends up inside the duck, or maybe it's the duck inside the chicken, which goes inside the turkey. I don't know how the layers...
This is after they've passed, so to speak?
Yes.
Okay.
So this is some kind of... I remember the first time I heard about one of these things was during a cooking show. Yeah, it may have been Emeril Lagasse. He was preparing a turducken. It seemed to me it's a New Orleans delicacy. Very rich and huge, as you would expect it to be, to have three birds in a single composition. It looks good.
Oh, wait a minute. I didn't even get that till this moment. Turkey, duck, and chicken.
Yeah.
a turducken. Yeah. I get it now. Okay, go ahead.
They used to serve, I know a few years ago, after one of the football games they play on Thanksgiving, they served a turducken. Back when Coach Madden was still calling the games, it was massive. It had six legs on it. And it must have weighed 50 pounds because obviously there was three animals involved, but it looked kind of good. Because one, I guess turkey meat's naturally dry, chicken is less dry, and duck meat is very rich and fatty. So between the three of them, you get a blend, and I guess it's very savory and very delicious. I've never had one, but I'd try it in a heartbeat.
We may not get this finished, actually, but we're getting toward the end. Now that we're going to talk about Brussels sprout gene. Some say there is a difference between stuffing and dressing. The former is stuffed into the turkey and cooked that way, while the latter is cooked separately in a pan. Wait a minute. Okay, I already did this section. Let me start over. There's a Brussels sprouts gene. If you're the only person you know who can't stand the taste of Brussels sprouts, blame your genes. Some people have a variant called TAS2R38, something like that, that allows them to taste certain bitter compounds, such as those found in Brussels sprouts. The presence or absence of the so-called Brussels sprouts gene may explain why some people hate Brussels sprouts and others can't get enough of them.
Do you like Brussels sprouts?
I love them.
I love them too. However, I will say it was an acquired taste. I stayed clear of them when I was younger. As I got older, I started eating them more and more. I love them roasted.
Oh, yeah. There is a local restaurant that slices them in half and then roasts them, and many of their leaves have turned a bit brown, and oh, my.
They're so good. It's actually my favorite vegetable now is Brussels sprouts, or our Brussels sprouts.
Well, folks, we are out of time, and it is so important for us to encourage you to remember what the holiday's about. Explore it in the ways you are comfortable doing.
Yeah, and I just like to add this. As holiday travelers hit the road, motorists and passengers are reminded that over 2,800 fatalities and 12,000-plus injuries have occurred since 2018 simply because the people in the cars were not wearing their seatbelts. Friends, as you embark upon your travels for this holiday season, please, for everyone, for those around you, those who love you, and for yourself, buckle up every trip, every time.
Happy Thanksgiving, folks.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Here's what's going on.